The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Andrew Bell, chairman of Red Rock Resources. RRR is ticker. Andrew, thanks for joining me.
A great pleasure to be here.
Yeah, and we have spoken before. I think it was many years ago now, but it's nice to get you back on and give an update as the markets. Like, lots of things going on with Red Rock, as always, you know, a big portfolio there. So before we get into individual news on individual projects, just explain or give a summary, an overview of what Red Rock is all about, if you could, Andrew.
Okay, sure. Yes. Well, Red Rock, which began its life with iron ore and manganese projects in Australia, then diversified into gold. What we have at the moment is a primarily gold exposure in the form of a resource in the south of Kenya, and that is about 800,000 ounces, just under, has been over a million ounces, but we recalculated in accordance with the latest edition of JORC. That we think is extendable to something much larger. We also have some exploration for copper cobalt, these being battery metals, and interest in lithium, and that is primarily in Congo. Mm-hmm. And then we have, as addition, other gold interests. We have in Australia a joint venture there that we're planning to get listed, which is in the old Victoria Goldfields. And we have in West Africa some gold exploration where we've just got some licenses.
Mm, marvelous stuff. Okay, well, let's go through a bit of a timeline of your news you released. Talking about the Kenya gold project there, you've like I said, just announced some drill assay results there. Can you take us through some of the highlights of that, Andrew?
Yeah, we have. We've announced some drill highlights. As I say, we've got nearly 800,000 ounces of gold. We took a conservative view when we got CSA to redo their former resource, which had been over a million ounces. When we got them to redo that, according to JORC 2012, at the beginning of last year. And one of the things that we became apparent is, for example, where the main ore body is that we've been drilling there, there are some places where the gap between holes is too great for one to be able to make the assumptions to join them together and include that in the resource. So we need to do some infill drilling. There were some indications of holes that ended in gold mineralization, and so one could go deeper. And then a long strike to the northwest and to the southeast, we thought that the resource was probably extendable. So in order to build on the existing knowledge, build the existing resource, we started a drill program of 20 RC holes, and we've got the results for half of them that have just come through. And of the 9 holes drilled, 7 encountered gold, 5 in quite meaningful grades, and 1 which ended in mineralization, we actually got 17 meters intersection at over a gram a ton, of which 4 meters was at 2.1 grams a ton on average. So that's 13 feet grading over 2 grams a ton. And, 17 meters, obviously a little bit more because we finished in mineralization, that is over a gram a ton. That's a pretty solid result. And clearly we're going to want to drill a few more holes around there. But it doesn't take much to build up a very large resource if one starts getting intersections of that width.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so from gold, let's go over to copper cobalt in the Congo. Tell us what's happening there, if you could.
Then they were waiting for some drill results. Well, actually, we have the drill results from the laboratory, and they're being analysed and formatted by our local geologists, and then sort of peer-reviewed internally. And then we'll be able to announce them. And we're looking forward to that in the next few days. And then we'll have announced 2 sets of drill results in the first few days of January from Kenya and from Congo. But we're very excited. And cobalt, obviously, is not an easy metal to find. Most of it is in the Congo. And there are not many British companies operating in the Congo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. And back to sort of gold here. You've got a joint listing happening here in Australia. Can you explain the progress being made there, Andrew?
Yes. Well, during lockdown, we had the days and nights blended into each other a little at first. And it wasn't exactly insomnia, but it was just the availability of time. We did a sort of in-depth study of the potential in the old Victoria goldfields, the site of one of the two great gold rushes in history in the 1850s, what actually made Australia. Australia wouldn't exist in the current form without that gold rush and the immigration it brought and the wealth it brought, and it built Melbourne. But from about 1900 until 2000, virtually nothing happened there. It was abandoned. People went off and looked at other things. And it's only with the geophysics techniques that have so much improved in the last few years, and of course, mining techniques, other things as well, that people have started looking at it again. And there have been some really spectacular successes in the last few years. We have built up I think, unrivaled land position around one of the two great gold centres there, Bendigo and Ballarat. That's around Ballarat primarily. And we have some very interesting acreage. We have 1,500 square kilometres granted. We're in a joint venture there with Power Metal Resources. And that joint venture we're expecting to list very shortly indeed.
Yeah, well, you've been very busy this year already. You've announced a sort of...
We started drilling in mid-December. So that's a third drill programme that we've had in the last month or two.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, looking at your news feed here, and it's been very busy, three bits of news this year alone, and one of those, the licences you've obtained in Burkina Faso. Can you explain what that's all about, please, Andrew?
Just as we got a new opportunity as a result of lockdown in Australia, so the red list of countries provide us with the opportunity to get another, because rather than come straight back from red list countries like Kenya and Congo, on a couple of trips last year, we came through Burkina Faso and Ivory Coast, and we had been looked at both countries before. We've had some interests in both, including applications, but now we really managed to put the whole thing together, helped perhaps by the fact that nobody else really much was there or travelling. We spoke to a minister just in November or end of October, and he'd been appointed in the spring, and I was the first foreign investor that he'd seen. Yeah. And I think in both countries, the minister said to us, we think you're the only British company that's here. There used to be some, of course, and very good ones like Clough. But the West African greenstones, discoveries there tend to be a little bit higher grade than elsewhere because it's underexplored. The only place in West Africa that historically has been explored a great deal has been Ghana. Mm-hmm. And, they're still making discoveries in Ghana. But most of the greenstone is not in Ghana. It's in other countries. And Ivory Coast, for example, has a great deal. We've got some applications in there. We're expecting a couple to be granted imminently. And that's for our Ivory Coast subsidiary. In our new Burkina Faso subsidiary, we have just acquired a couple of licenses, one of which looks quite spectacularly good and extremely promising. So we think we've got high-quality people and high-quality projects in those countries. And, of course, we've developed a great deal of experience in doing business in Francophone Africa, for which you need some, obviously, geological knowledge, you need some cultural knowledge, you need some linguistic capabilities, and you need some understanding of the different legal systems there. And we are probably almost unique in London in having those things.
Yeah. And so before we get on to the three reasons why someone should add you to their watch list, Andrew, what is the next sort of milestone bit of news expected out of Red Rock?
Well, I very, very much hope it's going to be the drill results out of Congo.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, on the front page of Vox Markets, Andrew, there's 10 companies that are most followed. To get on that list, of course, people have to hit that follow button on your page. So if you could give us three reasons now why someone should do that and add Red Rock Resources to their watch list, please.
Well, the first reason I think I give is that we have some exceptionally interesting gold and copper cobalt exploration projects where we're going to have a constant stream of news, as you can see. The second is that what we have in the south of Kenya is what's potentially a major gold deposit, similar to the North Mara of Barrick, just parallel to us a few miles to the south in Tanzania, which is a tier one asset. Thirdly, I think, is that The listing of the Australian subsidiary could, depending on gold market conditions, create a great deal of new value for the company. And we'll be spinning off one or two other companies, some of which has been announced. And that will create additional opportunities for investors that people might want to keep their eye on.
Excellent stuff. Andrew, good to chat to you. And hopefully we'll catch up in the not too distant future. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.